We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
First pick in the 1991 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Larry Johnson from University of
Chicago. I'm not supposed to be here, man. A lot of people from where I'm from, so don't make it.
Charlotte, we're back.
All right, welcome in. We are live. I think BG said the other night, sixth straight year of a live draft show for BuzzBeat. Super excited about this night. Two first-round picks for the Hornets, 13 and 15. We'll get into that shortly. But first, do a little housekeeping. BuzzBeat.substack.com. That is the address if you are a BuzzBeat Plus subscriber. If not, I would highly encourage you to make sure that you go ahead and get that done. I know that Lee and Brian are going to do an exclusive second round content show, whatever you want to call it, tonight, just for that 45th pick, assuming the Hornets hang on to it. And we've got a lot of other content coming for you guys. So please, if you have not already joined, go ahead and do that. On that note, is there anything else I needed to plug? Oh, we have a special guest. Don't forget. I think we told you about that on the last episode. Very special guest that'll come in and join us after the Hornets pick 13th tonight, or maybe shortly there before. So super excited about that. Draft's already taken some turns and that we didn't expect. So BG, throw it to you first. Talk to me about that Portland pick.
Yeah, interesting that recently Portland going with Shaedon Sharpe at number 7. I think a little, I think that's kind of like in his, you know, projected range. And we talked about Sharpe as a prospect a little bit on the last episode. I'm intrigued by some of the movement shooting and some of the other bits of shot making. And I kind of like some of the tools he has as a defender and the defensive, or pardon me, the like complementary scoring upside he has. But it is for a team that just traded for Jeremy Grant, that's trying to build a winner around Dame Lillard. To draft a, you know, development piece is a little interesting. So maybe, who knows, maybe Sharpe will be rerouted elsewhere. But for now, the Portland Trailblazers have the rights to him a little bit. If you went back just a day or two, you know, starting the draft with a little bit of an upset, Paolo Banchero from Duke, not an upset, but, you know, I do think it did seem like Jabari Smith out of Auburn was pegged to go one for a while to Orlando. And you know, overnight the odds flipped towards Banchero, and he did in fact go one, and I'm thrilled to see it. It was a blast covering him this year up close at Duke, and yeah, just as like I am just like a little happy to say that I've gotten to cover now two number one draft picks up close along with Paolo and Zion, so that's cool. And then Sacramento did the thing, you guys. I really like Keegan Murray as a prospect. Good two-way player, versatile scorer. Scores in a lot of interesting ways. Does the dirty work. Think he's going to be a good pro for a long time. But boy, oh boy, passing up Jaden Ivey, the fastest man in the world, to draft Keegan Murray is a choice. So Lee, what do you think about the Jaden Ivey pick, and perhaps any thoughts you have on New Orleans going with Dyson Daniels combo guard out of Australia with the 8th pick.
Wow. Okay. So Daniels is off the board to New Orleans. I'm just making my my old fashioned handwritten notes here, which will probably fade as the night goes. They will eventually just turn into some sort of chicken scratch of some sort. Hopefully that is. Hopefully I can hold it together until at least 15. Man, look, Keegan Murray is a really good basketball player. Brian, we talked about him on an episode of the podcast, and you know, one of the like big things about him that I said was underrated and that I think you agreed with is, like, yes, he's a fantastic shooter. Yes, he can score in a lot of different ways, but he's an underrated vertical athlete around the rim, like particularly cutting to the rim off the ball, not necessarily as a driver with the ball in his hands, like Jaden Ivey very much is, but Keegan Murray was 10th on my board. So like, he's a top 10 pick to me. He's an awesome player, a great prospect. Jaden Ivey is a tier above, I think, pretty obviously. And what's so crazy about it is because it's the Kings, you could almost convince yourself that they don't even necessarily think Murray's a better prospect. They just think he's a better fit, which seems completely insane to me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, obviously there's some pressure to win now and to make them get back to the playoffs, but you know, to pass up Ivy because you have Davion Mitchell and De'Aaron Fox on your roster, just, you know, seems a little short-sighted to say the least. But yeah, they went with the older prospect, someone that I think they feel is going to, you know, fit, play well next to Fox. And they passed up on Ivy. It's an interesting move and probably not one I would have gone with if I were calling the shots for the draft there.
So Tony Sneed in our comments said he feels like Daniels is a bust, Dante Exum-esque, which is actually kind of a funny comp and actually isn't a horrible comp. I was lower on Daniels than most. What I will say and what is interesting about the Daniels pick is the Pelicans have one of, if not the best shooting coach in the NBA, and Fred Vinson, who is a Chawan Hawk alum, my alma mater, when it was a junior college. He was a fantastic player. So Daniels going to the Pelicans with Vinson feels right. I mean, he's kind of like a Chip England type. Like, he fixes jumpers. So, but the other thing I'll say here, I don't mind that Sharp and Daniels are off the board. There's going to be some guys here. Neither one of the centers is off the board yet.
Just probably New Orleans did look like a team that might go Usman Jang.
Yeah.
At 8. So maybe Jang doesn't slip into the top 10 now. True. And so, you know, it's less likely for, you know, an AJ Griffin type maybe to slip back to 13. But we'll see. Spencer, sorry. What were you going to say there?
No, yeah. I mean, we talked about it earlier before we jumped on. And, you know, I tweeted this out earlier. I tried to go through how this could play out really from 7 to 14 as many times as I could. And every time I went through it, I came up with one of Sohan or AJ Griffin for Charlotte. And it really is shaping up that way, even more so right now. And then not only that, like, where's Johnny Davis is going? I mean, what, San Antonio could literally do anything here. Jalen Durant, is there a chance that he falls to Charlotte now, which I think that
there is.
The consensus would be really that among Hornets fans, that is kind of the dream selection here at 13. So this thing could go anywhere. You know, we thought the draft started at 4, kind of did, sort of not. The Keegan was a surprise, but then you kind of go chalk until you get to 7, and boy, oh boy. I will say, all the noise we heard about, you know, trade talk, I don't think that was white noise. Like, there's a lot going on under the surface, but it does feel like, I told BG this earlier, it does feel like that the market's just a little oversaturated. Now that these first 8 picks have worked themselves out, do the phones get hot and do things start to condense themselves? Are the Hornets in a good position here? I mean, everything is still on the table. Just want to mention that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, we've got a question from Tony. How do you compare Duren Williams to Kai Jones last year as a prospect? So my knee-jerk reaction response would be that Kai Jones was just a much more, I guess, raw prospect in a lot of ways. Like, Kai also showed more kind of shades and flashes of like a perimeter game. Like some of the most interesting stuff about Kai was, you know, a pump fake jab step, you know, two dribble pull up type stuff that he would look. It wasn't consistent, but it would flash. Now, there are some similarities to him and Williams from like a physical profile and the verticality and the athleticism. Duren is just a much more like Duren is a massive human from like he's thick and yeah. He's a great athlete too, but that's my knee jerk reaction. I don't know if y'all have any thoughts there.
I just think, like, in terms of archetypes, they're just different. Like, Kai Jones is like a screen threat offensively, right? And kind of to an extent, like, I don't know where his home is defensively at this point. Like, he needs a lot of development on both sides of the floor. You got to remember, Jalen Duren is much younger than both of these guys going into the draft. Duren's going to be the youngest guy likely to go in the lottery. Williams is a true center, like a true drop center. And a guy that, but can also play up a little higher too, but he's just so big. 9'9" standing reach, improved in terms of his lateral quickness, but like it's not like someone like Duren, who's just so athletic and so mobile and so coordinated. Williams, his size is so imposing, his ability to close off the rim, his ability to finish over the top at the rim too, very, very impressive. And I think of Duren, like his archetype is like, you know, yes, he can do some stuff offensively. He can finish above the rim. He can pass. He can facilitate from the elbow. When I think Duren, I just think like the team defense. I think a guy that roams and does and is just like involved everywhere. He's going to do some switching. He's going to spend some time, guarding a wing. And then he's going to roam and give you the rim protection. There's going to be other times where he's guarding opposing centers. And he's going to be, you know, switching on the different onto guards or onto wings. He's going to be, playing to the level, give you some scheme versatility. He'll give you some drop too. So like some other people have made this comparison, but you might be able to use Jalen Duren like Boston used Rob Williams defensively this season, right? As a guy that can guard different position types that could float. And Williams, Mark Williams is not going to be that. Like he is a in the paint defensive center. And a guy that's going to guard opposing fives and gives you a little more versatility.
Go ahead, Spencer. Yeah, no, just real quick. I think that's probably the best way to put it, BG, is that, you know, Duren can fit into that free safety role a little bit more, which is maybe even why he's a great, awesome fit with PJ Washington, right? Somebody that can just take on maybe those bigger matchups in certain situations. But, yeah, that's very interesting to think about. Whereas Mark Williams is going to be your traditional drop center, one of the longest guys in terms of standing reach we've ever seen in the draft. I don't think you can miss with either. What I've seen from this team's defensive scheme in the last few years, I'd be more excited about the Duren fit, and I think most would agree with that. But yeah, well said there. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, no, all I was going to say is I think the biggest differentiator is Duren and Williams are fives and will always be fives. It's possible that Kai Jones' best version of himself is a five. Like, that's definitely possible, but it's not set in stone yet. Like, I think I would imagine the front office and the coaching staff are still trying to figure out exactly what Kai Jones even is.
It was interesting. Like, I've gone through some Greensboro swarm tape the last couple of weeks, and, you know, they were using him as like a five in a lot of those games, playing him with some JT Thor, which you like to see, but having Kai like really like drop, but then kind of like then like sneak up a little bit higher on the screen. So trying to do like the Bam Adebayo, like middle, you know, be in two spots at one time, and definitely had some interesting flashes. Like he was showing an ability to like get into a stance and get low and to like be athletic and be explosive. But it's just going to take more time developing, I think. And yeah, as some people have pointed out in the comments, unfortunately, one of my favorite prospects in the draft is going to fall several picks before Charlotte even had the chance. Yeah, as James Helton is pointing out in the comments, Daniel Tapp mentioned it as well. Jeremy Sohan from Baylor, headed to the San Antonio Spurs. Mm. That's a great pick for San Antonio. My opinion, one of the best passers in this class, incredible basketball feel, incredible feel for the game, and an excellent, excellent defender. I know he was part of a great defensive system at Baylor, but I do think his individual defense is not scheme dependent. I think he's special in that regard. And that's a hell of a pick for San Antonio, in my opinion.
Are you okay, Spencer?
Yeah, I you know, it hurts. I never really realistically believed he'd get to Charlotte. I mean, I had a hope. I just think this guy is the most, like, he's the most ready to plug into a lineup on day one of an NBA season next year and just be an impact on, you know, in as many ways as any guy in this entire draft. That doesn't mean he's even going to be a top five player in this draft. Just means that he's ready now. He is the most energetic player I've seen on both ends in the draft in a while. So yeah, I'm upset. But some of the people in the comments, they've taken it. They literally stole my exact thought when I saw the tweet come through. This is a very, very, very San Antonio Spursies kind of pick. I mean, yeah, you know, they're thinking, you know, it's not to say, but can we develop an offensive skill set to where we have a Kawhi Leonard light?
He gets to work with Chip England too, right?
Exactly.
Like Lee, you talked about Dyson Daniels going to New Orleans, getting to work with Fred Vincent.
Yep.
And you know, the closest facsimile as far as like shot doctors in the NBA go, you've got the master Chip England. And yeah, to get Jeremy Sohan into his camp is very exciting. The Spurs have so many cool young wings on that roster, man. You know, it really is an interesting group of players they have. I don't know who's going to be a part of the long-term plan there, but Sohan is just a wonderful player to get to bring in and have with Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell. Like, just so they can be dominant athletically on the wing with those guys.
Well, it looks like, you know, things are really starting to shape up here. It does appear as if the Washington Wizards are going to select Johnny Davis with the 10th pick, which I like that pick for them a lot. I think he fits in well in Washington with Beal. They needed some guard help. They still need a point guard, I think. So at this point, guys, it's really starting to shape up for Charlotte. Durant's still there. AJ Griffin's still there. Abaji, Williams, Jalen Williams. I mean, we can keep going down, but – I'm probably missing somebody too. Am I missing someone?
I don't think he's. I don't think he's the guy. It should be mentioned, right, that Jalen Duren was supposed to have a workout with Charlotte this week that got canceled. I believe I saw that floating around on Twitter. But obviously, you know, he's two picks away from potentially being available to Charlotte. But
hey, we're gonna draft you, man. So we can't we'll pay for this flight, but we're gonna draft you anyway for there. So we'll just save that money.
Love to see it.
So two questions that are interesting. One, because I mean, we're probably gonna jinx ourselves now, but because Duren and Williams are still on the board, if you have to choose, who do you choose? I go Williams by a hair. And then the second question is, any chance we draft both? Take two bites of the apple. Yeah.
Why not? This is galaxy brain stuff. I go Durham at 13, I think. But it's razor thin. I just like his versatility.
I think Williams is going to be a very good NBA player for a long time, a guy that could potentially anchor, you know, top five, top 10 defenses and be a solid back tap offensive rebounder and screen roll, you know, lob threat. But Durin, the upside is just too much to ignore. He's much younger. He's more mobile. He's skilled. Like, this guy isn't just a pure run jump center. Like, he can do stuff with the basketball. And Williams has a little bit of that too, but not to the extent in terms of like ball skills that Durin has. And I just think, yeah, with what Durin can do, touching the game in so many different ways on the defensive side of the court, I would go Durin over Williams. But Williams, if he's the pick, is a very good selection too, assuming Durin is off the board, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, BG, because I started this draft evaluation process with a decent gap between Williams and Durin. Like, I always preferred Williams, but the more and more I watched, that gap got smaller and smaller and smaller because of a lot of things you talked about, and I would even call it like a little bit more than just flashes of short roll passing, like pretty decently consistent, good decision making by him in the short roll, and maybe just projects a tick more versatile, kind of on switches and things like that. So, you know, I started with a big gap and ended with the tiniest of margins. I think they're both pretty awesome prospects.
I will say this about these two guys though, is that, you know, with Durin, I just expect that in his rookie season, if he's given a role, you're going to be more frustrated watching him play than you would be a guy like Mark Williams, just because Mark Williams is like facsimile. This is what I'm drop coverage, protecting the rim, lob threat, like, you know, maybe down the road some more stuff. But, you know, I do wonder if with what the Hornets want to do, which is win now, Williams is not that it's the right decision, but that the decision actually makes just more sense for him to be the guy to come in here and play that role. Just to throw that out, because I think Durin's like 2 or 3 years away from actually being a polished NBA player. He's going to turn the ball over a lot. He's going to take a lot of bad shots, stuff like that, his rookie year.
But my hope would be, if you brought him in, that the only shots that guy takes are when he catches it 3 feet above the hoop off lobs from LaMelo. You know, like, it's like, other than that, buddy, you just keep the ball moving. Like, we don't need you shooting out here. Spencer, you bring up a good point. I could absolutely see them going that route. I think it would be a really bad idea, not only to like draft for like fit or, you know, some sort of like win now belief or whatever, but to also do it at like the, you know, with a guy that is a true center. You know, I don't want to be the guy, like, I get tired of the whole like, oh, centers aren't valuable. Like, I don't want to do that. But it's like, it's really a position type you should be careful about, you know, purely drafting for need, which like is a thing that we've talked about for years now with this team going into the draft, you know. But yes, I can absolutely see them going that route. And I don't know, Williams is a great player. It's like, you wouldn't be completely upset about it. But if Durin falls, I just think it's a miss to pass up on him in lieu of someone that theoretically will help you maybe win one more game next season. You know what I mean? Like, so I would be wary of that.
Is there a nightmare scenario? That's a strong word, but just, you know, humor me here. Is there a nightmare selection for you guys left on the board, like realistic, or do you not have too many ones that you're super low on kind of in this range?
I mean, I I think I said it on the last episode, I like Jang a lot. I don't picture any realistic scenario where this team would do that. I think Tari Eason at 13 I would be pretty bummed about.
I would too. BG likes him though. So
I think Tari, I would be happy with him. I think he's he's a nasty defender and I think like a pretty like freaky athlete. So I could get down on Tari Eason. I think there's some, you know, it's going to take some time in terms of like improving the process but he's just a weirdo and a good athlete. And I'm kind of intrigued by those guys as prospects, and especially as like the run jump fit is, you know, next to LaMelo. And here we go. We've got New York with the 11th selection. Usman Jane going to New York. So this means one of AJ Griffin or Jalen Duren available at 13 to the Charlotte Hornets.
Wow. To put a bow on your question, though, Lee, I think that the Hornets Twitter would lose their mind if we drafted Walker Kessler.
Yes, that's also my guy, by the way. That's my nightmare.
And I don't hate him. I just think that, like, my computer would just melt right in front of me if that happened.
Okay, so OKC is about to pick.
Yeah.
They're
going to go Durant, right?
They probably go Durant.
I think they go Durant.
They kind of need a Durant.
Because he and Chet can play, like, defensively, that's a nightmare. You know what I mean? Development wise, but also, like, Oklahoma City would like to draft Victor Wembanyama next year too. So it's like, that's neither here nor there at this moment. But
Spencer Chat is getting a little shout out in the comments here. I do like it.
By the way, I wore the old Kemba shirt for good luck tonight.
You know how many tears I've wiped with this hat? It's like faded in the back. It's
soaked up, you know, beer spills probably too. After the Hornets blew another fourth quarter lead or whatever. But yeah, this is exciting. One of Durant or AJ Griffin is available. That is, I mean, they could go AJ Griffin at 13 and Mark Williams at 15, you know, or they could take the Lee option and just go with 14 feet of center tonight.
Just take them. Take
Jalen Duren and Mark Williams, or just stack them on top of one.
Build it to the Jumbotron. How far we can go.
Yeah. Man, I will say I do think Griffin's fallen too far. I think he's a better prospect than Sharp. I think he's a better prospect than Daniels. Kind of a toss up with Davis, and I definitely prefer him to Jang. Like is JT Thor not just a better prospect than Usman Jang?
It's tough. It's fascinating to think about where Thor would go in this year's draft.
It is
probably like around 19 or 20, something like that.
Knicks are moving Jang.
What?
I don't know where yet.
To OKC. Oh, so they're just trading.
Oh, yes, they are to OKC. Wow. So to Brian's point, that's what's going on here. They're like, Jang, he's not going to play. Oh.
Yeah.
I will stop talking.
Hey, yes.
Special there guest.
Is. We got breaking here. News. Forget about the trade. Div is in the stream.
Get him out. We don't care about the trade. Get one.
No, wait. Forget about me. What just happened as far as the trade? Did I just
update him? Update him, boy.
Jang is on the move from New York to OKC.
Ooh.
So. Div, welcome in at Stat Center on Twitter. Go follow him if you don't. I'm sure you already do. Div, what's
going on? Thank you, buddy. Thanks for having me on. Excited to be here.
Of course. Give us your early thoughts on this draft, and then what's in front of Charlotte here.
Yeah. So my first thought on this draft is, like, I love the fact that Paolo went number one, and like Woj and Shams are completely useless for 2 months about this, right? Like, you just tweet out anything. You could just have a robot tweeting out whatever for 2 months.
Woj was swinging the betting markets. Swinging the betting markets at like 1 a.m. last night.
Yeah. Always trust the betting markets over Woj. I think that's lesson number one. I really like Dyson Daniels. I think him dropping to 8 is really solid. I'm not 100% sure about the fit in the Pelicans, but the Pelicans may still be at the point where fit doesn't matter that much. Mm-hmm. I'd say I'm pretty happy with how the board's lining up for the Hornets here. Durant is still on the board. That's probably my top guy left on here.
Yeah, same. Yeah. AJ Griffin's still floating around, which is exciting. And yeah, it does feel like New Orleans is going to be able to do the, like, have two teams at the same time kind of deal, where, like, you've got Ingram and Zion and CJ and Herb and Trey Murphy, who looks ready now too, but you're going to keep developing some of those guys, and then you can bring in your someone like Daniels that there's just no rush at all to get him into the mix.
Daniels has grown like an inch and a half, 2 inches in the past year. Mm-hmm. So if he's able to play like a true wing, but with the point guard skills that he's had all along, like that's really, really impressive.
They've got so many guys on this roster that can handle the ball and, yeah, and theoretically run a pick and roll. Like assuming Daniels like gets there in enough time, because you've got CJ, you've got Brandon Ingram, who looks like he made like a leap, you know, it's, yeah, at some point, half a leap or whatever, you know, this season or late in the year. You've got Alvarado. So there's just, you've got Herb, who can like do some stuff out of pistol. And you know, Trey Murphy may try to add some of that stuff too to his game. So it's like a fascinating, I mean, they have a ton of picks, you know, because of some of the trades they've made going back to 2019. So they put that stuff to good use for sure.
So apparently Trey Murphy was like interviewing prospects today prior to the draft. And two things. Number one, from Twitter's feedback, sounds like he has a future in media. Super, super polished and
big shock.
Yeah, sharp dude. And then number two, he like looked like, I don't know if it was just the camera angle, but like he looked like he was almost as tall as Chet. Like, did this guy grow 3 inches over the summer?
I saw him next to Mark Williams too.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. Yeah. It is nuts. He was like 6'4", 6'5", a couple, like when he was at Rice.
And it's, yeah,
like,
when he was at Rice. I wish this would have happened when he was at Virginia.
Virginia. Yeah. And it is crazy that like he almost didn't play last season for Virginia. Like, you know, he was this close to redshirting.
Funny. He was just like a fringe transfer guy. It's like, yeah, this guy, Trey Murphy, he can shoot, but we don't really know what else he can do. And then here we are now. It's like,
yeah, he's still a shooter, nightmare cutter when he was at Virginia last season. Terrific player. I also saw, Spencer, you will appreciate this, that DeAndre Hunter, Ty Jerome, Devin Hall back on the grounds up in Charlotte.
Working out
yeah, today with Isaiah Wilkins, which was
all the NIL stuff, we were trying to figure out if they had eligibility left, but they didn't. So
here we go. Jalen has gone at pick 12. It is Jalen Williams.
Whoa!
Out of San Clair.
Oh my!
Yep.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, BG, what you said a minute ago is coming true at every single inch. Like they are trying to lose again next season.
And we do mean the Santa Clara Jalen Williams, correct?
Correct. Not Arkansas. Yes, Arkansas. You must. Yeah. Thank you. Got to specify there. Yes. So yeah, Jalen Duren and AJ Griffin both in play for Charlotte here.
It's Duren, Williams, or Griffin. I mean, those are your. We can't mess this up. We cannot.
Now, with those two guys available, let me just pitch this question out. You have to answer the phone if it rings. You have to answer it. MJ and company have had bad history with this. There's a lot of good players still on the board that nobody expected to be there. If the phone rings, you have to answer it and make a quick decision.
Because you can get one of those three guys at 15. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Because you can get one of them and you could maybe get more draft capital now. Or I mean, I don't know. My brain's kind of spinning a little bit. But like there's a lot of players that were thought to be top 10 picks still on the board here.
You know, coming into this, I thought 15 was much more likely to get traded than 13, just because you've got more leverage at 15, because you can kind of control what Cleveland does. And Cleveland is like so set in terms of bigs and has so many needs elsewhere that you thought you could sort of play that. But kind of to your point, Spencer, there's four guys still on the board right now who I would have been very happy with at 13. You don't have to pick here if a good offer comes in. So.
Because if you were expecting to have to call Cleveland, well, now you're calling Charlotte because now your draft board's been turned upside down. So, this should be interesting. But there's a lot to happen in a few minutes.
I will say if Charlotte doesn't go Griffin at 13, he feels like a pick for Cleveland.
Totally.
Like, you know, I mean, like, you know, maybe wasn't quite where you want him to be defensively at this point. But I think as he gets more comfortable, more confident with that knee, putting that jumper next to Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen is pretty tempting to think
Cleveland
about.
Cleveland does need another human that can dribble the basketball, but I think if Griffin's there, that's too tantalizing to pass on.
Yeah,
Griffin has the like. I mean, I've seen AJ Griffin do a lot of like. I mean, I know you're saying that in half jest too, Lee, but like. That dude can do some pretty impressive stuff, like pregame dribble wise. Like I've been in Cameron enough to see AJ Griffin go through his pregame routine, and like he works on it. You know, it just he only really didn't get a chance to show it at Duke. And when he did, it was almost exclusively for like, you know, step back space creation stuff, which he can do.
Yes.
But yeah, it would be, again, Cleveland certainly could use some secondary ball handling and perhaps they don't see Griffin as like the pathway towards that.
Let's play this game real quick. I know the pick could come any second. The trade could come any second. Dev, I'm going to throw it to you first. What do you do here for Charlotte?
I think I just take Durin. I take Durin and then I start fielding calls for 15.
BG.
I like it. Yeah, I think that's a great call. I would take Durin and then start shopping that pick. And then if there are no nibbles, maybe I'm hoping AJ Griffin falls to 15 here. You could also play AJ Griffin at 13 and then wait until, Mark Williams or Jalen Durin at 15, assuming Cleveland, you know, doesn't trade out of that pick. But yeah.
Man, I think I'll stick to my guns here. I take Williams, who I've slightly favored. But I agree with you, Spencer. You do have to start thinking about what you could get at 15 if somebody's dying. Like, somebody's dying for Durin or somebody's dying for Griffin. If somebody's dying for Griffin and they're calling you, then you know you can still get one of the two centers at 15. Even if somebody traded up with Cleveland, because if the person that's calling you is taking Griffin at 13, doesn't matter what happens at 14, one of them's there.
Yeah, that's what I think I'm doing exactly. I'm taking that player, and then I'm gonna either accept the center that falls to me or Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland can do anything, and then play the field against themselves. this is not where we thought we were going to be, which is maybe why I still don't have a Twitter notification about who the Hornets are selecting.
Yeah.
Because the phones are, I'm sure, quite busy knowing that Charlotte's got two of the next three.
I have turned my screen away from the YouTube chat because I feel like a spoiler might be coming in there, but I'll get back to if there are any questions here in a bit. But we're down to, you know, this is crunch time, folks.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
By the way, isn't it? I find it really interesting. I mean, I think Durin and Williams are both the type of guys who, in many drafts recently, would have both gone in the top 10, top 10, 12, top 12. Both of them still on the board at 13. You know, and I know the center's been devalued, but I mean, I think what we saw in the playoffs also is if you've got a center who can stay on the court and has multiple skills, that's hugely valuable. And I think both of these guys probably do. So I think it's really interesting that teams between 8 and 12, who I thought decent chance that one of them would take a big, decided to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I'm not completely surprised that Durin is still around, but a little bit, just given the youth, the upside, his ability to be one of the best defenders to come out of this draft, the scheme versatility he could offer you defensively, the shot blocking. The fact that he can be a run jump center, but there maybe is some more playmaking potential with him out of the post and at the elbow. I just think he's offering this like discrete set of skills that looks playable, perhaps if developed properly, to be on the court defensively and can give you some stuff offensively beyond just screen and roll and dive to the cup.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what you said earlier, BG. It's like, well, what if Jalen Durin is just like Rob Williams light in his rookie year, and then maybe he can get beyond that. And let's say Charlotte takes a jump and they have to play, I don't know, Milwaukee in the first round or the second round. Well, Jalen Durin would be quite helpful in that kind of matchup, right?
Yeah.
Just being kind of the slide over guy against Giannis, Antetokounmpo at the rim. So totally.
Yeah. He would become one of the most impressive rim deterrents that this team has had. I mean, Mark Williams would too, but this franchise has had, and yeah, I mean, I don't know, apologies to Bismack Biyombo, but it's been a little bit since they've had that kind of punch at the rim defensively.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's confirmed that OKC and New York just flip-flopped or if...
I don't think they did. I think it was a bunch of picks. Okay, it was multiple first-round picks. Here we go. Charlotte takes Jalen Durin, pick 13, according to Shams Charania.
Well done. Well done.
I like it.
You have some Cav Sav to that, Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Get it down.
Wow. That is exciting.
This is the right pick. I mean, look, I've been vocal that I liked Williams, but this is a great pick. This is a great pick. He's going to, I mean, go ahead, guys. I'm speechless.
We've been on it, right? Like we've been saying, like how versatile this guy is. Now, I will say, it shouldn't be playing devil's advocate this quickly, but BG, what you and I were talking about earlier about Durant's going to take some time. He's got some extremely raw skills that no other center in this draft has, right? A true center. You know, Chet Holmgren has some of those too, but. I do think Durant's going to be one of those guys that there are going to be nights where you're going to want to bang your head against the table. You know, he's going to take some weird shots. He's going to try to do some weird things. But if this team is able to take a leap next year in terms of Eastern Conference standings and able to get themselves into the postseason, he is he's an awesome defensive chess piece. Unlike, you know, Mark Williams is great too, but he's a drop center, right? Durant is a guy that you can put in a lot of different lineups and a lot – like, it almost makes me think, now does the team look at P.J. Washington and his quote-unquote trade value a little differently? Like, I think these two fit great together.
Yeah, that it could. Yeah, I mean, the LaMelo plus Rozier plus Miles plus P.J. plus Durant. Yeah, I mean, that lineup is super fun to think about. Div, any sort of thoughts you had, scouting during the season, getting ready for the draft? What do you like most about him, or what scares you perhaps the most as far as his development pathways may go?
Yeah, so I think about like the word versatile has come up a lot with him.
Oh, like, hold on.
All right. So take everything we said back. Durant is heading to the Knicks.
Apologies there, Div. Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. Woj is saying Jalen Durant to the Pistons.
What is happening?
Shams is saying traded to the Knicks.
I think we've hit the we've hit the dead end on the Shams Woj stuff. I think we've learned
Mitch
that.
Traded him twice. Mitch finessed it again. He traded him twice. He traded him to New York and Detroit for assets.
Genius. Oh, this also reeks of like there being too many guys in the room for Charlotte right now.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Tweeting out different stuff at the
Well, world, MJ traded him to Detroit, but Mitch traded him to New York. So now we got to figure this one out.
What is happening?
Yeah, a div apologies there, but those notifications coming in just as you were getting ready to get going on.
All right, so we don't actually know what Charlotte just traded for.
We still do have not actually know.
Why would they trade this guy? Why would they trade this guy? I mean, I'll wait to hear like what it just. We were all getting so excited, like what a move, what a chess piece, like is this. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my gut is before we get something else that comes in, you know, I think Charlotte has been after veterans. I think they want to get better now. I think that everything we were saying before the pick was made about the phones being blowing up. I think all that was definitely happening. I would be surprised if this does not include a player that can help now and a future draft pick.
Man, that's
who on New York's roster or Detroit's roster is helping us now? That's the question.
You know, one of the centers, probably, you know, like a center,
like Mitchell Robinson.
Because he's a free agent.
I think maybe Nerlens.
Somebody said Sadiq Bey in the comments. I love Sadiq Bey. I doubt they would give us Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, I would be surprised. Yeah.
I think Detroit sees him as like a. I mean, he fits with Ivy and Cade too.
But yeah, I mean, Ivy makes him more expendable, I guess, if you will.
Beef stew.
Isaiah Stewart. Beef stew is a worse version of Jalen Durant.
Yeah. In 3 years older too. Yeah.
So there's no correction on the Shams Woj. Nobody. Sorry, I got some.
Seth says nobody. I hate both of those teams.
So this is a three-team deal, I guess, huh? It has to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Stick with us. Stay with us if you're watching. We're trying to work through this just like you are.
Yeah. Okay. So Daniel's saying, Jake Fisher is saying it may be a 3-team trade with Detroit and the Knicks. Now there was, and I don't know, this could have been complete rumor. There were some tweets earlier about us dumping Hayward into Detroit, which
yeah,
I still don't know what the
$50 million in cap space. Yeah. So.
Oh God.
Well, yeah,
that makes a lot of sense, Lee. It does.
If it took us trading Jalen Duren to offload Hayward's contract, I've got a big problem with that. That just seems like real overthinking there. So,
yeah,
we have getting a future that, yeah, there's got to be something coming back, because if you're saying Duran attached to Hayward, yeah, we're dumping, but we're also trading Jalen Duran. Like, there's got to be something coming back to Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of like an actual player and a future pick,
According to Shams, Knicks are trading Kemba Walker to Detroit. Sources tell the Athletic and Stadium.
Right, this is gonna be a lot to unpack, boys.
I just the optimal,
and the 15th pick could be involved in this too. Like, we don't.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's tough to sort of like wade through. It's just, if Duren falls to you, it's just. You just said it. It's like, you don't have to think about it. Just make the pick. Just do it. Like, you need a center. This guy is what you've been looking for on both sides of the floor. He fits the age curve with LaMelo. Like, what? I just, man, it's
so even if you were concerned about the money long term with getting Miles back under contract, you don't have to solve that today. Like, today should be about getting the best assets you can get. And then you've got, you know, the rest of this offseason and next offseason to figure out the money part of it. I don't know. We'll see what the details are, but I'm getting very worried that this is something that had more to do with monetary assets than actual basketball assets.
That's a great point, Div, and it's unnerving. I will echo what Charlie Brantley just said in the chat. He needs a bigger glass of bourbon.
Yeah, be careful. That might get, if you pour too big a glass, it might get included in this trade package too. That's being cultivated by the teams here. It's just
I had a bag of chips right next to me, but they just disappeared out of thin air. So I guess
those belong
trade as well.
Those belong to New York now. I'm sorry, Spencer. The ship rights belong elsewhere.
Maybe to Detroit. They might have been rerouted. I don't know.
It's I guess it still feels like if the 15th pick is still going to be kept by Charlotte, AJ Griffin and Mark Williams are still there. Cleveland went with Agbaji at 14, so he's off the board. You know, he was an interesting prospect for Charlotte.
The Pistons are sending the Hornets a 2025 first round pick via Milwaukee in the Durant trade. Sources tell ESPN Detroit got that pick from Portland in the this was the Jeremy Grant. So a 2025 Milwaukee pick, which will probably be number 25 or number whatever, around there.
A bad first round pick, probably, by most likely.
And so this is, as Dev was saying, this is 100% a financial move.
Yeah.
Pretty. So we didn't even get Detroit's 2025.
No. Right. No. Because they're rebuilding, so they wouldn't just light first round picks on fire.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the good news is I'm sure Giannis will be retired by then. So.
Right. Look, once the royalties hit from this Disney movie, he's not going to need basketball anymore. So as long as he retires by 2024, guys, I'm feeling pretty good about this move here.
Can I just reiterate something?
Please.
This is from the same owner. I know that this is probably getting like dry paint at this point for people, but this is the same owner that just fired his coach six, eight, whatever, how many months it was after he extended him, paid him to go away. And everything that's happened since then, including this trade we just saw, is to save money to re-sign Miles Bridges.
Which they
you're talking about Jalen Duran. What's he going to make next year? $4 million? Not even that much. I don't know. Like, this is the madness. The MJ. I mean, he's like, Everyone thinks that every single deal is just a deal that you need to dissect individually and you can't string them together. But when you make bad business decisions over and over and over again, it bleeds into the basketball side, which is what we're seeing right now.
And the Hornets have picked Mark Williams with number 15. So,
okay. If they're not trading that for future second round considerations.
So that's how they'll spin this too, right? That like they still got a center in the draft and that afforded them the ability to ship out the 13th pick, even, you know, that they used theoretically on a
another center. So if you take them in if you take them combined, you know, if you told me before the evening, well, we're going to get Mark Williams and we're going to trade the other first rounder.
Yeah.
I would have said, okay, well, that sounds like a reasonable approach.
That's reasonable. Yeah.
Right. But you're ending up with the 27th pick 3 years from now. I can't believe that was honestly the best that you could get for the 13th pick in this draft.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I mean, most of the guys on the roster now won't be here when that pick, you know, comes to Charlotte. You know, that's just a pretty obvious fact.
Some people will say, well, Charlotte got the same thing for Jalen Duran that that was basically traded for Jeremy Grant. So that should be looked at. Like, but that's when context is needed. Like, yeah, okay, Jalen Duran's a really promising player on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant is not that.
Yeah, at all.
You've got 7 years of control over Duran. You've got one over Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. These things don't happen in a vacuum. And I like Williams a lot as a prospect. got to cover Mark Williams when he was at Duke. He's going to add to Charlotte's rim protection. It'll make them more potent on the offensive glass. He can still be a screen dive guy for LaMelo and for Miles. But it's just the opportunity cost of this is, pretty steep, passing up on a prospect like, Duran, who's a guy that I think should have been a top 6 or 7 pick in this draft. So.
At this point, I would have just rather have signed and traded Miles Bridges. Like, just let's just go. I mean, seriously, Spencer's, I know that sounds crazy,
nuclear. But Spencer's going nuclear on us.
Dude,
we just flushed a 13th. Like, we just flushed this asset down the toilet, basically.
Yeah.
So we could go re-sign Miles Bridges, which I'm not saying we shouldn't. I love Miles Bridges. Right. Just like but it does not justify, like, how many times do you get two picks in the top 15 in an NBA draft? You can't do this kind of stuff. You can't.
Detroit got Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duran thanks to Sacramento and Charlotte. I mean, it is playing them like a fiddle. And salute Troy Weaver. That's really good work drafting wise, because they got those two guys for the 28th pick 3 years from now.
He drafted Sadiq Bey. He drafted Cade Cunningham, Ivy and Duran. Like, yeah. Daniel in the comments is saying that we apparently got more picks. So I don't know what that intel is. Yeah. That maybe could make me feel a little better depending on what it is, because it makes zero sense to trade the 13th pick in this draft when we need players to help us now for the 2025 Milwaukee. They'll probably win the title in 2025.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 4 second round picks seems to be the haul, at least from our
only if you're trading Frank Kaminsky. That's the only time you get 4 future first. Yeah.
But by the way, Giannis is 27. Just would like to make sure everyone was aware of that. He's not going anywhere. Is the lesson to be learned there?
Hey, look, I will say this. I preferred Mark Williams coming into the night. We ended up with Mark Williams. You know, I think he can start from day one. I know that's bold. I know that it's historically a little bit foolhardy to think that you can rely on rookies, but I do think he has like very translatable, unique skills that this Charlotte roster, this Charlotte Hornets roster, just like straight up does not possess. So I'm happy about that. In a vacuum, I am happy that Mark Williams is on this roster. But I get it. Like, the bad taste has not gone away from this entire summer to what just happened. And, you know, yeah, cracks another beer, as Seth Williams says in the comments. So,
yeah, it's just, it's, yeah. Div, any thoughts here on, maybe what you like about Williams, or if you have any, if you would like to talk any more about the transaction here?
I like Williams a lot. I don't want that to sort of get lost in my my complete confusion about the process to get to here. But I like Williams a lot. I think he's really good. I think it also probably pretty clearly defines what the defensive philosophy is going to be now. Because I think Williams is awesome in drop. I think he can hedge and you can get away with that at least to some extent. But you're not going to be trapping. I don't think he's a switch everything center or ever will be. But I think he can be a focal point of a defense, and I think that's really, really great. And also, I think, you know, part of the path to LaMelo getting better and having more impact is give him more easy buckets to get to people, right? And Williams will help with that. Of this sort of archetype of player, I had him slightly behind Duren just because I think Duren's got a better chance of being able to do other stuff in the future. But if all you want is somebody who can do those three or four sort of building block things of a big in the NBA, I think Williams is an outstanding example of it.
Yeah, he's going to take points off the board from opponents with the rim protection. He's going to give you some easy ones at the rim offensively. He's going to create extra possessions just by going to work as a back tap guy on the offensive glass. It is worth noting, though, this is a guy that I think defensively, because I do think he offers enough mobility and scheme versatility that you could see him staying on the court in tight situations. Offensively, though, it's probably like it could turn into like a switch fest against Charlotte, right? And just can LaMelo take guys off the dribble? Because Mark Williams is not like a back to the basket guy. He doesn't, there were flashes of that at Duke, but they were pretty limited. He really lacks lower body strength. So you can see like he struggles to like carve out space, and also smaller, bulkier centers were able to back him down, put him under the basket and still finish over the top against him. Like that's something that happened against Zed Key from Ohio State, John Hubley from Pittsburgh, Sidney Curry from Louisville. Like those guys put him into the basket with their strength. But those are kind of like traditional, you know, bulky college centers. Not going to see a ton of the in the NBA, but yeah, like that is going to be something that teams can go to. You know, we're looking way down the road, but you know, LaMelo is going to have to get better attacking switches. And what are you going to do when Williams gets small switched onto him?
Yep.
Because the menu of options is not amazing, to say the least, at this point.
I like Williams, like all you guys have said. I think we all agreed on that all along. We've got a center that's super important. I will make one last negative comment because I don't want to bring it down too much, but all these four second-round picks that MJ just acquired, he's going to sell at least two of those, just so everyone knows, for cash. And I'm sorry. I just can't help but think this is a part of that, you know. Div, any closing thoughts? We appreciate you jumping on here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make everyone feel warm inside.
Yeah. Thought. Yeah, you know, BG, you brought up Williams is going to get isolated at times. Teams are going to look to attack that if he's as successful in a core strategy as we expect him to be. You know what would have really helped with that is get a wing with the other first round pick who could also develop with him and could help you to, you know, switch off that, do deal switches, do other things to counteract that. Like I feel like this team's at a point where if you've got the chance to infuse really solid young talent, go ahead and get them in, figure out the rest later, right? And that's what I kind of liked about last year's strategy. I'm not sure if Kai and Booknight will ever become anything, but I like the idea of you take pretty big shots and sort of see what happens with them.
And Thor
is not on a shot this year for the 28th pick in 2025. I can't get on board with that.
Lee, were you about to mention something there?
So, I was just going to say in support of Div's argument there, and they took JT Thor last year too, which is another like nice swing at a big toolsy defensive wing prospect. And so look, I obviously have been high on Williams and love that he's on our roster, but to throw a little cold water on that, if Duren ends up being better and AJ Griffin becomes a good player in the NBA, you all of a sudden, you just had a very logical, easy roadmap to see Duren at 13, Griffin at 15, because Ejbaji went 14th. So you could look back at this in 5 years and say, oh my God, the Hornets had a chance to take two kind of top 10 talent guys
that
filled needs, and they didn't.
Yep. Yeah, and I think even someone like Tari Eason, you can even lump him. I know you guys are lower on Eason, but I'm high on him. He just went 17th to Houston. Houston has some guys in the scouting department that I know, and I'm not surprised to see Tari Eason going there, and someone that Houston apparently had graded as the top defender in the draft, according to Woj. So, yeah, there was some talent that – Charlotte let slip through its fingers here.
You can always start the season in the tax, even as an owner that's not cash strapped, and even as a small market, you can always start the season in the tax if it means that your basketball team is better in the short term and the long term. And I think I feel like that's a lesson we're going to look back and examine at some future date. Div, thank you so much. Lee, great job. BG, great job. Hey, Buzzbee Plus, if you're not a member, go check it out. You can check out at Buzzbee Pod on Twitter, or you can just visit buzzbee.substack.com. And that is the only way that you will get BG and Lee the second round content, 45th pick tonight. So make sure you go ahead and do that. All right, guys, let's get out of here. That was fun and kind of not fun at the same time. Div, take care, man. We'll see you soon, all right?
See you guys. Thanks.
All right.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.